Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Talking It Up. This is your host, Denise Hill, broadcasting live from Indianapolis. And before we get started, I want to give the call-in number in case our listener wants to call in. That call-in number is 347-996-3189. Again, that number is 347-996-3189. My guest today he's a mentor to young men. He's also the youth pastor of a local church in Indiana. He travels to the juvenile detention centers, prison, youth events, and church to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's also the author of Rejected But Still Prevailing. I would like to introduce my guest, Keith Taylor II. Hey, Keith, and thank you for joining me this evening.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. Well, like I said, I had two co-hosts that were supposed to show up, and they're not here, so let's get started. Can you tell me how old you were when you first published your first book?
I actually am 26 years old, and that's how old I was when I published. This is my first book.
Okay. Did you self-publish or were you picked up by a traditional publishing company?
I did self-publish the book through Inspiring Voices.
Okay. Okay, how did you feel when you were injected and rejected, and why did you decide to write a book about being rejected?
This question goes hand in hand, both of those questions. I felt a lot of anger. A lot of frustration, a lot of confusion. The biggest form of rejection that led me to write the book was from my childhood, from my father being in and out of my life. I felt like it was my fault. I felt like maybe I did something wrong. He would come and go. And so I just felt that form of rejection, and I've seen it even now in my adult life. When people come and go in my life, it still reminded me of that time frame when I was younger. And it led me to even want to write this book about not just for young men, but anybody who feels the rejection of abandonment or people walking in and out of your life, and you feel like maybe you've done something wrong, and you get angry and you get confused. And I wanted to write something that was easily readable to the younger generation, and that wasn't 50 pages, 100 and, like 200 and 300 pages long. That, they can understand and still use in their everyday life, but that was grounded in biblical principles.
Okay. Do you find that there's a lot of young youth that feel rejected when you go to the prisons and the detention centers and things?
Absolutely. I feel a lot of our youth, the problems that we deal with today stem from rejection. Now, we see the crime and the fighting and, the world star hip hop and the music, but a lot of that started with rejection at some point in their life that was never properly handled and dealt with. And so we're dealing with the branches today, and we're never dealing with the root, the internal things. And if we would go back to the root, we would be able to start changing some of those behaviors and the branches that we're starting to see in our society that are at an all-time high, the murders and the rapes and the killings and just different things.
So would you say that you've overcome being rejected, or do you still have an issue with that?
I would say it's an ongoing process, but I've definitely matured in the way that I handle rejection. As a matter of fact, I was laughing with my wife about it, and I was saying, man, I could write a 2.0 version of this because I've dealt with it on a whole different level since having written the book and having it published and doing book tours and being on TV. I've dealt with it at a whole another way. In this time frame, but I've been able to deal with it a lot more smoother than I did before I ever wrote the book. So it's one of those things that you're going to keep going through.
Right. Okay. Can you tell us some of the ways that you've been rejected by writing this book?
Absolutely. Some of the ways that I've been rejected. And I mentioned that I was married. In my marriage, at different points, you feel rejected. You feel like, you may be less than or not everything that your partner may have wanted at different times, or maybe you're not doing enough. And those are some of the things I felt. But being able to voice my feelings and put them on the table, as men, a lot of times we talk to don't cry, don't show your emotions. But I found that in showing my emotions and sharing how I feel, I've been able to work through some of those things with my wife and get clarity on how to move forward and how that she can better help me deal with rejection, because sometimes she's not meaning to do it, but that's the way that I receive it. And it goes back to some of the things that my father did or didn't do.
Okay. So what inspired you to write Rejected But Still Prevailing?
Well, the main reason that I wrote the book is I just didn't, when I was dealing with rejection, you know, from the job and from things that I wanted to do in business and even in ministry, I just didn't find anything that was geared towards a younger generation that was easily readable and accessible. And so I wanted to go ahead and I felt like, you know, I had something to say. I've met with a lot of people, young people, older people, and I've been in ministry for a while, and I felt like that maybe I could help at least just one or two people be able to deal with rejection in their life.
Okay, have you experienced much rejection in your ministry?
Yeah, even in being in the church, one of the main things is I mentioned I'm 26, and actually I'm in the process of launching a new church, and just being a youth pastor, especially in Indianapolis, you deal with rejection. You deal with people because of your age or because you may not have the name. I've never been into self-promotion, so I kind of just served and did my thing and let God do whatever he wanted to do. And, you know, but you can feel rejected by not being at a certain level, by a certain age, or, you know,
right.
Not getting paid a certain amount, or, you know, having to work 2 and 3 jobs just to be able to do ministry on the level that you want to do it.
Right.
And provide and help those kids so that you have the funds, because you may not be getting them from the churches that, you know, like you should. So I felt rejected on that. And even the jealousy and I don't want you to take my spot. And, you know, I remember you when you was a kid. You know, how can you tell me anything, you know? So just dealing with that, those type of things, definitely dealt with some rejection. But through it all, I've still been able to keep prevailing, keep pushing forward. And like I said, me and my team were actually launching a ministry this August, and it'll be at the Jordan YMCA, so in Indianapolis here, and God is doing some great things.
What advice would you give someone who feels rejected by their mate?
The main thing, main advice that I would give is that seek to understand and to hear and listen before trying to be heard. A lot of times we just want to get our point across. Well,
right.
You hurt me, you rejected me, so I want you to understand how I feel, or I want you to feel how I feel, versus listening and taking the time to say, to find out, why did you do what you did? Did you really intentionally mean to hurt me when you said such and such, when you did such and such? Am I misunderstanding what you did? And so once we take the time to really understand what's being said, what's being done, it helps bring clarity before we react. A lot of times we react, then we want to find out why.
Exactly.
So if we take the time to find out why first, then it changes our reaction. The other thing that I find is a big thing with couples that I counsel is that a lot of times when we hurt, we don't like to say we hurt. But
right.
One of the things I realize is if somebody steps on your toe, it's okay to say ouch, especially with men. We're conditioned to not say ouch. You got to man up. You got to be tough. Don't say ouch. But if you over there hurting and she don't even realize she stepped on your toe, she's going to keep stepping on your toe.
Do it.
Exactly. And then one day you're just going to blow up and boom. And she's like,
right.
Where did that come from? And the thing is, you've been thinking about it and mulling over it, and it could have been easily diffused.
Right. So do you see do you witness this in a lot of relationships?
Absolutely. A lot of people who I counsel deal with rejection, and then things spurred from that, like anger and resentment and frustration and, you know, unhappiness. And but a lot of it starts with rejection. I feel like you rejected me when you didn't answer me when I was trying to speak to you. Or I feel like you didn't reject, because it's not always what you say. Sometimes it's what you don't say. If I'm trying to talk to you and you're ignoring me, I feel rejected. If I'm trying to get your attention and you don't give me the attention that I'm desiring, I feel a form of rejection. And so, but then there's things where you come up to me and I'm too busy. I got this going on. I got to deal with the kids. I got to deal with that. And I'm like, wait, where's my time? So I see that a lot in relationships. And then sometimes it is what you say. You say things intentionally or even on accident to reject people. And sometimes you don't even know it. But and then there's other times you know what you said.
Right.
it comes to a heart issue, you know. And you, at the end of the day, the question I ask is, do you still love this person? Do you love this person? And it's always yes. So we know that if you really love somebody, you're not intentionally trying to hurt them.
Right.
So let's go back to that moment when you rejected them.
Okay.
And let's look at
so
it through
how
the
long,
love you love them.
How long have you been mentoring and counseling people?
Well, I've been in ministry for 8 years, but I was a youth pastor for 3 years. I was serving at my church for 8 years in different capacities, armor bearer and preaching at the juvenile center and Pendleton. And then I mentor young boys that don't have a father figure in their life or a positive role model. And I just try to take them out and spend time with them and do whatever I can to just plant seeds or just water wherever I can. And we do like dinners once a month, and we do grade checks and, you know, sports and all that. But I think it's really just about relationships and spending time with them. I think that makes the biggest difference.
Okay.
They know I'm a pastor, but it's not always about preaching to them. Matter of fact, I rarely preach to them unless they come to a service. But I try to show them the Bible through the way I live my life and through character and integrity.
Do you find that there's a lot of rejected men in prison versus the younger boys in the juvenile?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the rejected men in the boys in the juvenile end up going to prison because it's never dealt with. And so you still have a lot of rejected men in prison, but at the center of it, they're just like the little boys in the juvenile. It was never dealt with. And their mentality a lot of times is like the boys in the juvenile. And so in prison, you know, you got to be tough. You got to be hard. You can't show any sign of weakness, any sign of being soft. But and when you really get down to it and you allow them to talk to you and you build that relationship with them, you come to find out that there was a point in each of their lives where they dealt with rejection the wrong way.
Okay.
And by not dealing with it properly, it led to all these other events.
And what way would you suggest would be the proper way to deal with it?
First, acknowledging it, realizing that this is what you're dealing with. And then second and most important is taking it to God. Prayer. I'm a firm believer in prayer. And then using the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, and understanding that it's going to be a process. Rejection happens to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States or if you're the janitor at an elementary school. You're going to be rejected at some point. But the question is, how do you deal with that rejection? You know, and so do I rash, you know, come out in anger and try to cuss everybody out and try to fight everybody? Or do I process it, understand it, and move forward and realize that your rejection may be God's redirection?
Right. I know a lot of people just give up when they get rejected, and that's not good.
Absolutely. They quit right there. Well, I guess it's not meant to be.
Right.
Well, it doesn't mean it's not meant to be. it may mean you need to keep trying. You need to keep listening. You need to keep going.
Right.
Well, it may not be meant to be today. So.
Right, exactly. What advice would you give someone that wanted to start mentoring to young men just to help, you know, they really want to mentor. They feel like they have something to offer. What advice would you give them to how to start this out?
The best advice I would say is start in your house, in your home. Mentor your kids, your nieces, your nephews, your own family. A lot of times we want to do ministry or mentoring all across the world. We want to be a global wonder, but nobody in your neighborhood knows that you're a man of integrity or a woman of character. Nobody in your family realizes that this is a desire of yours. So before we go save the neighborhood, let's help people in our own family.
Right.
And then from that, let's go out into our community, the city, and then the world.
Okay. Where can someone purchase your book?
The first place, we have a website at www.keithtaylorii.com, or you can go directly to www.inspiringvoices.com and look for Rejected But Still Prevailing.
And what can your fans look forward to in the future from you?
The biggest thing is, like I mentioned earlier, we are launching a ministry where I'll be the lead pastor and teacher called Prevailing Worship Church. And it's right here in Indianapolis. And we are just looking to worship God and study His Word and be a multicultural ministry. But what's different about us is we're specifically going after people who are between that 18 to 35 age range and trying to be multicultural. We're really close to Broad Ripple. So we're looking to make
okay.
a really big impact.
Okay. And this is a question that I ask all my published authors. Since you became a published author, do you find that other authors are supportive of you or not?
Not really. No, I haven't found that to be true with me anywhere.
Okay. And last but not least, can you let your fans know what events will you be attending, like your literary events, so they can come and purchase your book or meet you in person?
I don't have any literary events. I'm sorry. We have a teleconference coming up in February. February 21st. But that'll just be over the online. You just call the dial-in number, and you can find that through our Facebook at Keith Taylor II on Facebook. Or also, you can find more information at www.keithtaylorii.wordpress.com. And so we have, like, videos and different things like that. I think we'll also be in Dayton, Ohio, coming up in April, doing some book signing events, and we'll have, like, a booth there. But the biggest thing is August 2nd. That'll be the pre-launch service for our church. So we'll definitely be signing books there. And spreading God's word.
And that one in August, that's going to be here in Indiana?
Right here in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Jordan YMCA on the second floor. It'll be at 12 noon.
Okay, and before we leave, did you want to give our listeners any last remarks or anything?
Yeah, the last thing I want to leave you with is that we'll all be rejected at some point. And once we realize that it doesn't matter if you're in the NBA or the NFL or you have $3 billion, you know, you will still be rejected. But there is one true, sure way to overcome that rejection, and that's by putting your faith and your trust in God and learning how to pray and trust God through that rejection. You can still keep prevailing too.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule to join me.
And that's another segment of Talking It Up. And join me next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.